Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Left Curve. This time we have the one and only Wajahat Mughal. You may have read his threads, you may have watched his YouTube videos a lot. And before we begin, none of what we say is financial advice. We're just people on the internet. Please do your own research before you ape into anything. So Wajahat, before I begin, there are a numerous number of ways in which somebody can describe you, somebody can introduce you. As you mentioned, you know, you've been a medical student yourself. Then you got into, making independent videos that you got associated with a couple of protocols. So why don't you like go ahead and introduce yourself, and then, you know, even I and Blinko can introduce ourselves as well.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm Mujaha, or Waj, as people like to call me. I think like one word to just describe like what I like to do is just education. I'm an educator. Even though I still work as a doctor, I have medical students with me all the time. And I think one of the things that gives me the most joy is teaching. I think it's something that I'm good at as well. So yeah, whether it's like in the real world or whether it's in the Web3 world or crypto world or DeFi world, whatever you want to say, I think the one thing that I like to do is just teach people how to make the most of the opportunities that we have today.
Damn, man, that's really, really intense. And then, of course, it's me. I'm the CEO at Rare Block. We're a Web3 native growth agency. I've got Blinko here as well. Blinko, do you want to say hi?
Yeah. Hi, guys. My name is Blinko. I'm the co-founder and CEO at RadarBlock. A lot of what we've been doing is like experimental lead gen marketing. So it's been a crazy ride for the past two cycles, and been in DeFi for like almost 4 years now. I've been doing a lot of crazy stuff and just still trying to get like not liquidated. So I think for Wajahat, if it's education, for me, it's like getting myself safe from like getting liquidated every now and then. So yeah.
Before we begin, I'd like to tell this story about Blinko. So out of the two of us, Blinko has the worst luck when it comes to staying awake during liquidations, because he's always awake during really stressful times. I think the only time which was stressful during which he was not awake was the recent Iran versus Israel warmongering. That was the only time. Before that, FTX liquidations, any major liquidation after FTX, like I can go on and on. Any stablecoin depeggings, he was awake, I was sound asleep. And within like 4 to 5 hours, most of these things sort themselves out, right? So the dip has already recovered by the time I wake up, but Blinko has probably aged like by 5 years by that time.
I think I'd like to share like a Web2 analogy here. So I don't know how many of you are like Game of Thrones fans. So I saw Game of Thrones like very late when it was like already out. So, you know, like how there was this one season where Jon Snow died, and the next season people had to wait like 1 year to like understand, oh, he did not die and he just came back. So I think when the Iran war happened and I woke up in the morning, it was like speed reading what happened, and I could feel like everyone was so panicked last night. And it was like watching it all over, but I felt like so relieved that, oh my God, everyone would have been so panicked for like the 3 hours last night, and I just woke up like a baby. But yeah, for our side, Adonis is the one who's usually sleeping when a lot of this happens. So I think it was an interesting experience altogether.
Yeah, where were you, Wajahat, at that time when the news broke out and the godly GCR tweet came and like saved us all?
I was just like probably just doom scrolling Twitter, just like figuring out what to do, scrambling stables wherever I can to chuck them on Hyperliquid. I think a lot of these events, most of the time I do nothing, because I feel like emotions take the better of you, and I try not to like be as emotional when it comes to trading or investing. It's obviously really hard. So yeah, most of the time I just prepare myself before these events happen, and if they happen, they happen. Like you said, most of the time they correct themselves after a while.
Yeah, man. I mean, I did not have dry powder at this point of time, unfortunately, because I was awake. But one of our colleagues did have dry powder. I literally called him up and I forced him to buy something. And he bought it and he was like really, really happy. By the way, this was financial advice for him, not for anyone who's watching this right now. just I gotta be careful on this one, man. But yeah,
in this recent dip, like the one that we just talked about, I did buy some stuff and it kind of went up like 100% or 150%, and damn, now it's completely retraced.
that's the world of crypto, sir. But yeah, we're gonna be talking about, you know, yield farming in general, the eigenstake draw, which is like the talk of town, you know, CZ getting 4 months, and any recent market developments that we have, right, Bajad? So basically, we'll soon have like plebs entering the market as well. And you're like the yield farming god to most newbies, right? Most of us actually have watched your videos on yield farming at some point in our lives, right? So what cautions do they need to keep in mind, and how would you explain yield farming to like a complete beginner?
So like yield farming is like it's like a category of different strategies that you can use within DeFi. It encompasses things like providing liquidity, using lending markets and borrowing markets, airdrop farming, like a whole range of different things that you can do, which I think count as like yield farming. Essentially, you're providing capital in order to capture yield in some way, shape, or form. And there's like so many different strategies that we have in DeFi today. I think for people who are like entering the market or like new to this, it can be a little bit daunting because you see these crazy numbers, this 50% APR, 100% APR, and sometimes even higher than that. Like it can look very, very appealing on the surface, but like when you look into it, you'll realize that there's so many risks that come with it, whether it's impermanent loss, the smart contract risk, Oracle risk, blockchain risk, the asset themselves, depegging risk. There's like so many things that you have to be aware of. I think every single strategy itself has its own risk. And so it's just spending maybe half an hour, 45 minutes to just understand the strategy properly, I think is probably the best thing that you can do. And then secondly, if you're just starting off, just use like the blue chip protocols. Don't go down and start using Carrot Finance or like whichever new fruit swap or whatever that's just come out. I mean, I feel like we're past that stage now. That was more last cycle, but still, you know what I mean? There's so many like new farms and weird kind of Ponzi's that we see in this space. So yeah, just stick with Aave or just stick with Uniswap or something that's been around for a little while longer. Of course, no financial advice, because like those things can still go wrong. Assets on there, you can still lose money. But yeah, that would be my advice.
What do you mean I cannot go for like the 4,000 APR just by scrolling on DeFi Llama and just ape right into it? What do you mean by that?
I mean, you can go for the 4,000% APR, but if you're a complete beginner, I think most of them will get completely wrecked. But if you're someone who's a little bit more sophisticated and you know how to hedge yourself a little bit and you know like when to really exit these positions, because they don't last forever. You know, 4,000% APR will last a day or two if it's a very good one. then fair enough. But yeah, I think most people will get wrecked.
I think if the risks are like outlined appropriately, then perhaps it's easier for the end user to make like a good call or like like a sound judgment. The problem comes in when a lot of these opportunities are portrayed to be risk-free, and I think that has been like my biggest gripe, and that has been a lot of people's biggest gripe, which is why I think we're now seeing like such a strong shift in market sentiment or market preference towards meme coins, because meme coins, they don't portray to be anything more than what they actually are. They're a speculative asset class. Their main reason for existence is speculation. They do not intend to make you rich safely, quote unquote. There is inherent risk. They accepted that there is inherent risk. If you go into their Telegram and you start complaining about like a 50% drawdown, people are going to start lolling at you, because they're going to be like, what did you expect? This is a meme coin. There were no promises made of any harm or utility whatsoever. But I think even when you talk about yields in blue chip protocols such as Aave, when you mentioned the different kinds of security incidents that can happen, I think both Blingo and I, we both had like, you know, flashbacks across DeFi history when that one particular risk has been like at the top page of the blog, Cointelegraph, DeFi Llama News, right? And more than that, it's the unknown unknowns. A lot of people in DeFi who are going to be entering into the markets, I believe that they're not even prepared for protecting themselves against risks because they do not know they exist in some sense, right? So have you tried onboarding anyone lately to DeFi? And can you like walk us through what their experience has been? I assume you have like a standard protocol through which you walk them through. But what has been like the usual, you know, onboarding mechanism that Vujrat Mughal has used?
I think in the last maybe 12 months, it's mostly been like airdrop farming that I've been like getting people on board onto, like, let's say my friends in real life that like haven't really experienced crypto. Like everyone knows that like airdrop farming maybe 12 months ago was like a pretty decent strategy, actually.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's so many new chains, there's so many new protocols, and if you played it right, you probably already made a decent amount from some of these airdrops already. So I always used to tell people at the start, like, okay, put in what you can afford to lose, maybe $20, $50, $100, not a lot at all, because you don't really need a lot to really play around with DeFi. And basically use this money as your education. Okay, yes, it could go to zero. You could put it into a random smart contract, or you could get exploited. You could click on a phishing link or something. Do you know what I mean? But like, use this as your education to try and explore like what we have in DeFi today. And so those people, like, I tell them, like, go and explore what a DEX is, go and explore what a money market is, go and explore what some of these derivatives are. And once you've tried out maybe 20 or 25 different applications, I think most people have a good idea of kind of how things work and some of the different common mechanics that we have in DeFi today. And you just build it up slowly from there. That's usually what I've been doing. And I think people have kind of appreciated it. I think you'll find that lots of people have loads of questions because like it's such a different thing to anything that we have in traditional financial markets. I think if people are willing to spend a bit of time, then generally it shouldn't take that long for people to learn. I think people can learn a lot in even a week.
I think just to add there, something I personally use for onboarding people has been that I just tell them that, hey, go to DeFi Llama, and these are the categories that you see. So there's like DEXs, there's like lending and borrowing, there's CDPs. I just tell them, if you get like gist of like what each one of the top protocols do, you're pretty much safe, because like I understand there are like very a lot of protocol based improvements here and there, but to understand most of it, I think it's good. But something I've seen is like a lot of people when they're onboarding struggle with is like getting the jargons right for Web3. So why do you spell this way? And I think when we're talking about the left curve, this has been like the talk of the town for like the last 1 year for us. Like, we saw this translation from a lot of Giga Brain thesis to actually saying, hey, this seems like an industry where just memes work. And now even some of the bigger protocols are considering, you know, launching a meme coin for adoption, and a lot of strategies have changed. But I think for someone who's coming to DeFi, I think a lot of it is expectation management as well. So getting them educated about the risks has been like the priority, and telling them how they can safeguard themselves from like different parameters, understanding what to look at, to be honest, because I understand when I came in like 4 years ago, it seemed like daunting to me because there was just so much stuff. I was just looking around in every direction and trying to see, okay, where do I start from? So I think getting that strategy right is definitely something interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that for sure.
I would also say that since we were talking about airdrops, it's only fair for me to also transition to the eigenstake drop, ladies and gentlemen. It's not an airdrop. It's a stake drop. It's the talk of the town. People aren't really happy with it, to be honest. Like, I was watching the Bankless live stream. They had to turn off the comments midstream because of the amount of hate they were getting from that. People are not happy that it's not transferable. The claim was geo-blocked, even though the deposits were not. So have you been following around, Vujrat? Did you invest anything by any chance into Eigen yourself? How has the experience been? Are you trying to follow along the 42-page long white paper that they've released about the Eigen token, the universal intersubjective token?
And a lot of new words, to be honest, to get used to.
Yeah, that white paper is long and complicated. I still need to like properly go through it and like really appreciate like this two-token model that they've got coming out. I deposited on in Eigen on day one, so like airdrop value wise should hopefully be pretty decent. But I completely agree with like some of the people who are kind of upset. I think the geo blocking one was probably the one that I felt probably most upset by. It doesn't really affect me because where I am like I'm not geo-blocked, but I think it was probably a little bit strange how they didn't mention this earlier. You know, if people are allowed to deposit to earn these points, like why wasn't that itself geo-blocked? You exactly. know, I thought that was a little unusual. The non-transferable token, I don't know how long that's going to last for, but I don't expect it to be like really long. I've heard some people say that it's going to be non-transferable for up to a year, which I don't really think that's going to happen. I just assume that it'd be non-transferable until they figure out this phase one, phase two business. And once they've figured that out, then it can be transferable. But overall, I think the whole communication probably could have been a little bit better from their side. I think there was so much confusion and everyone was kind of panicking, thinking they've been farming Pendle and Gearbox and all these different places for points and they're not getting anything for it. I think naturally there was just a lot of confusion and panic. And I think it could have been solved just by some clear communication directly from Aguilera themselves. But it looks like now, like all the different teams, I've seen Gearbox and Pendle and all these other LRTs like have to like explain what's going to happen, which has seemed to have settled things down now. But yeah, let's see. What do you guys think?
I personally like the part where it's divided into phases. So I think it's interesting because the non-transferable clause at least makes it fair for everyone who's getting the airdrop. So I think that has been something. I tried to figure out what's up with the geo-blocking, but I assume someone will figure out a way to actually evade that. But it seems like till now people have been struggling, but I think it's definitely one of the most hyped incidents in the industry right now. It also seems like now we're at this stage in the market that how we airdrop is also changing. Like there's no classic airdrop model now. Someone is playing around with retroactive. Someone is saying that I'll do points, but I'll do it faster. So like Athena did. So there are people saying that, okay, the conventional airdrop model is changing. And I find it kind of refreshing because it's been like one long year of just, you know, vanilla airdrop. So definitely interesting to see something happening in the market, which is like not just the same. But yeah, at the same time, I understand that a lot of people have been struggling. And again, we weren't geo-blocked either. So yeah, but solidarity to those who were affected. And hopefully they get like some way out soon.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that people have already figured out how to like bypass the geo-blocking. God bless Twitter. But on top of that, I would say that if you look at the actual stake drop, somebody from Twitter itself, I think it was Ben Moon, who had this point that, you know, Aguilera has actually mentioned everything. It's just that they have written it in a really obtuse way. In a way that's really hard to understand, because there are seasons, and then within seasons there are phases. Now you need to understand that when out of the blue this airdrop gets mentioned, everybody wants to find out, okay, how much are they worth, right? So everybody's panicking. What they want is the world's simplest explanation at that point of time. Instead, they receive a 42-page long documentation, right? And on top of that, the clause that it's non-transferable, it's geo-blocked. And not a lot of communication from the team. Not only that, even LRT protocols themselves did not have enough information to make any, you know, knowledgeable comment at that point of time, which is why if you see a couple of LRT protocols, all they did was they just congratulated. So Swell, for example, held back on saying anything for a while. EtherFi, they just simply congratulated. And then they said nothing beyond that. Something very interesting was Renzo's Res went live for trading at like the same time. But surrounding LRTs, there had already been enough FUD because of, you know, the Renzo liquidations that had happened because of, you know, the infamous pie chart incident. So all of that really brought down a lot of trust in the Aguilera ecosystem as a whole, to be honest. Sentiment is really poor. I can say that because we work with LRT5 protocols ourselves, and you know, this is something that we are all seeing, that the trust has definitely been reduced. In fact, somebody was comparing it with Starkware on Twitter itself, right? That was like another airdrop that was really, really messy. Somebody actually asked me, like, what was like the last airdrop that everybody seemed to be happy with? I think Jito was one example. Did not read a lot of negative news about Jito as a whole. People were like really happy. But then that was at that point of time where you know, you can deposit like one soul and get the G2 airdrop. And those were like the early days of the bull run in some sense. And I'm not by any means saying that we are towards the last end of it, hopefully, fingers crossed. But that's something that I personally noticed as well. And hopefully this clears up faster than it has spread across in terms of just magnitude, because a lot of things are riding on top of it. We saw that there are a lot of people who are in the queue for like withdrawing their assets from EigenLayer. So I'm not sure how this affects the whole restaking future or the future of the AVSs that are building using the EigenLayer technology as a whole. Wajad, by that also reminds me, because I think I kind of skipped over this from the last discussion. Have there been any yields you're farming personally? These do not need to be vanilla by any chance. It's all right. And I'm only reminded of this because, you know, I saw that there were a lot of ways you can leverage like Gearbox or Morpho to get like an extra points on EtherFi and Renzo and stuff like that. So I'm just like asking you this here, that are there any yields you're looking into personally at the moment?
I'm always farming, like always. I'm never not farming. Right now, like I have all of my ETH in like a few different places, some money markets, some LRT still that I have, kelp and things like that. I still have my ETH in Eigen. A lot of people are talking about Kurok right now as well, which seems to be popping up. Stable coins are all over the place as well. I'm doing like the cash carry trade as well, but I do it manually, which I think sometimes you can get much better yields. Right now, it looks like the funding rates have kind of come down a little bit, but you still see like some crazy ones here and there. You just got to shop around a little bit. I do like a monthly series called Farms of the Month, and I'm gonna post some of the farms that I'm in like right now later on Twitter today. But yeah, the usual Gearbox, Pendle, TimeSwap, Curve, even Uniswap, Trader Joe, all of these places I like to farm regularly. Even Hyperliquid like HLP has been performing really well. They're just some off the top of my head. I'm farming like airdrop wise, like a lot of the tokenless L2s. You got ZK Sync, Linear Scroll, Mode, Base. There's probably even more off the top of my head. I can't remember. There's many, many tokenless bridges, Orbiter, D-Bridge, Bungie, some of them, DeFi protocols. There's Barachain. There's a whole range of stuff that I'm farming actively.
I think that just gives us so much room. Like, I'm just thinking, which one should I touch? Huh? That would be interesting. And I think there's like so many things happening in DeFi in general. Yeah. But I think we'd definitely be coming up with a lot of LRTs that should be added to your list soon. Because given what we know about what's brewing in the corner, I think we've been in touch with Kurok and some of the other Eigen competitors as well. So I think it's interesting times in the DeFi market. I know Adonis touched on some things on future of Eigen. So allow me to take a moment and call him a fudder, because I think it's an interesting time to be in DeFi. A lot of interesting things are happening. It's okay for airdrops or like post airdrop engagements to go down. I do think like we need to think about as an industry to consider stickiness beyond the airdrops. I was looking at some statistics from Starkware and like how it has been after the airdrop, and the user activity has like fallen by several points. So I think it is interesting to see how the Eigen chapter would play out from here. But I think I would also love to get your thoughts on some of the Eigen competitors, because you did mention them. So what do you think this landscape is going to look like moving on from here?
I think right now, like Eigen has like such a massive head start against everyone else that it's really hard for me to see like which ones are the winners. So I'm going to be just looking very closely, but I think it's hard for me to say like, oh, actually this protocol or this one actually is what I'm going for. I think actually Eigen will probably continue to do well. I think we haven't really seen like how the AVSs are going to kind of play into it in terms of like giving their tokens out to stakers and things like that. I think there's going to be lots of interesting stuff happening. I think Eigen season is probably just in the middle or just getting started still. Okay, I don't really care if people like withdraw from Eigen, because I think there's much more things coming like through Eigen in future. You have to remember as well, like Eigen stakers also have been getting airdrops. I think it was one of the roll-up as a service protocols. I can't remember what the name was off the top of my head. Altlayer, maybe. I think they gave directly to Eigen stakers as well. So I think Eigen stakers like will still have much more going for them. But yeah, in terms of like your question on like Eigen competitors, I'm not too sure which ones will like really take market share away.
I think you've spoken like a true farmer, to be honest. And when you were going off the list of like the things you're farming, I was like, God damn, that was a protocol. I've not used that in a really long time. Let me write that down.
Yeah. Which so I just said, I'm where the money is. So that's the tagline.
Fair. Really, fair,
just, there's
really
so many more. Really I'm just remembering now. There's so many more. I think on my list is like 100, but like obviously, it's not worth farming 100. You got to just put your capital like where the most like highest ROI potentially is. So yeah, I think it'd be silly if you just put $10 in 100 different protocols. It's just about I think if you use DeFi organically, naturally you'll probably use a lot of these protocols yourself anyway.
Fair enough, I'd say. And that also means that Vajahat does not believe in putting $10 in 100 protocols. That means he's putting 1,000 in Firm Network.
So, those bags are big.
Those bags are really big. What do you mean? Those cameras cost a lot. And in terms of costing and price, I think the price currently has been pretty much difficult to watch. Hopefully, we can look at this video in the future and think, oh, that was just like a really small dip. But like the Hong Kong ETS came through. And they underperformed, to put it mildly, in terms of like pumping up the bags. But on the other side of things, you know, CZ, this is something I wanted to touch upon like towards the end, which was that CZ gets like 4 months in jail. And one of our in-house meme guys were like, he actually got 3 months. But once he heard that he's gotten three, he was like, can I make it four? So yeah, absolute four, man. But I think that all in all, if you look at CZ, and SEC, please don't come after me for this. I think none of this would exist without him. So whether you love him, you hate him, you really cannot deny him. I just have no words in order to like glorify him or, you know, put him down in any way. It's just the state of the facts. Like you could not find me a more influential person than that person. Like besides, I believe like Vitalik and I believe Satoshi himself. Really the grandfather of like modern DeFi as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, that sounds a bit philosophical, but yeah. But I feel like CZ just ate Hong Kong EDF. So I was just seeing like Hong Kong EDFs come in last night. And I was like, everyone was like so busy saying four everywhere under each comment. So I think it was an interesting mix of reactions from the market. I think as a marketeer, I personally was like commenting for everywhere, wherever I could. So I think it was an interesting take, but definitely interesting to see how Hong Kong has been developing as a market. I know that there were a bunch of events there here and there as well. I think there's an event there coming soon, but I think overall, how do you guys see the CZ incident shaping a lot of the market conditions moving forward? Are you saying that it's going to be like a quick rebound, or how do you guys perceive that?
I don't know if we'll get like a quick rebound. I think everyone is looking right now and talking about their different price targets, whether it's 52 or 48 or maybe run it a little bit. Everyone's got their own thesis. Some people think it's doom and gloom. Some people think now's the time to buy. Like, who really knows? I mean, no one really knows. I hope that things just go sideways for ages because it gives me more time to farm.
Yeah, I told you, he's speaking like a true farmer. You're speaking everything that's coming to my heart, basically. And yeah, we're not sure of like what will happen while he's in the jail for 4 months, but I can bet myself that once he comes out and he announces his new venture, which he's teased that he's going to do something for like education space, which should be like super exciting for you as well, Vajahat, because you know, you said that you're an educator. Yeah, if you're watching this, we can like definitely recommend Vajahat as like an educator. He's an awesome educator. He makes really cool videos as well. Really amazing deep dives.
Thank you.
But I think that once he comes out, I think he would have really transcended to a level of too big to fail, which also scares me because it just gives me like SBF vibes. He had reached a stage where he was too big to fail, and then he fell like nothing had fallen before him. And I just hope that whenever CC comes back, things resume up only from that point onwards. And we, he doesn't
maybe it's a good thing then. He's going into education rather than like
exactly
making a new VC fund or whatever.
I think we can't go beyond this topic without giving like a quick shout out to Nas Daily, because I think that meme has been really picking up. Like, it's like Jale and Nas Daily has like this direct correlation. So I definitely like that one, although it used to be like a pleb meme, but definitely now it has its moment. So it's like buying one of those meme coins you faded on initially, and then you're like, in hindsight, it makes sense. But yeah, I think coming back to like Wajad's introduction, I must say he has to add like educator and farmer. So I think my man started with like a very education focus. He's like, I'm here for educating the people, but wait, I'm mostly where the farming is happening. So I think that part should be definitely focused more. But yeah, it was super interesting talking to you and like learning so much about what's happening in the space.
Yeah, man. And we will look forward to reading more about your Farms of the Month as well, Vajahat. And you know, before we go, this is a question that we ask everyone: who is the one Web3 Chad you would want us to bring to the Left Curve podcast and also interview them? Do you have any names in your mind?
It's a good question. I didn't think about it too much before, I have like a lot of friends like in the crypto space. Some of them are like super super right curve, so having them on the Left Curve podcast would be really cool.
Oh shit.
Like one of my friends, his name's 563 DeFi. He's one of the best like researchers in the space for sure. Really 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 in-depth research, and he works for Blockmates. And I think all of the guys from Blockmates are brilliant, so maybe getting any of those guys would be awesome.
Yeah, sure, man. Shout out to Dan, Grant, and all of the guys. I think those guys are really, really awesome as well. We should definitely invite them on as well.
Jedi as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all of them.
Yep. Ooh. Thank you so much for like joining us, Vajahat. I think we got like a good overview of, you know, what yield farming is and how would you describe it to a complete newbie. Stay safe. Do not get liquidated chasing those yields yourself. We did touch upon Eigenstake drop, but unfortunately couldn't talk too much about it because we all have like 42 pages to read before we can make any intelligent comments on top of it. And of course, we are really, really looking forward for the, you know, for the return of the king and the savior, CZ himself. That's all for this one. If you love the show, please do give us a follow at Radar Block and our individual accounts as well, which are 0x, Adonis Cyril, and Blingo. No. Make sure you follow our guest, Vajahat, as well, who is smart enough to write his own handle in his name itself. It's just 0x Mohal. Thank you all, and this is it. Take care, guys.